This is an exciting morning, and the reason is, number one, because we get to talk about and serve and talk about our pantry, and that's great, but it's also exciting for me because we get to hear one of our brothers speak to us this morning, Randy, and listen, I was just down here just a second ago, and he said, hey, you remember that time you told me that you were going to try to get me to come up here and to speak? And he said, well, I'm here. Listen, Randy and Miracle, y'all mean so much to us, and you have a beautiful story. And one of the things that's incredible, and I hope that Randy, just him standing up here, is going to be a testament to you, because I think one of the greatest ways to build our faith is when we share our story. It's not when we listen to someone else speak, but when we get up and we speak of what God's done in our lives. And I thank you, Randy. Listen, Randy is not... He doesn't enjoy and thrive to come and speak in front of crowds, and I know that. And yet he's chosen to do this today because he loves the Lord and he loves you, and he knows that the message that he has to share with you is more important than the things that he wishes to do. Wow, what an awesome guy, great man of faith. And so, Randy, come speak the word to us, brother.
Nothing like a big building. Nathan's right about that. This is not what I enjoy, but it's something that needs to be said. And I'm not good at ad lib, so I wrote everything down. So I'm here today to talk about the Bread Days Food Pantry and the success and the blessing that the ministry is to many people. But first, I would like to share with you how Miracle and I came to be members of the Leander Church of Christ. Kind of a strange story, but we'll get through all this. Most everyone says that God works in mysterious ways. Well, I'm here to tell you, I believe that now. About 2 years ago, Miracle and I saw a random Facebook post about helping out a church serving people for Thanksgiving. Just, you know, we didn't have anything going on. We didn't have family to go to. So after some convincing, I agreed to go help. Miracle's pretty convincing like that. We get in the car and we go to the wrong church. That is never a good sign when you go to feed people and there's nobody there. Never a good sign. So Miracle tried to look up the Facebook post again. She couldn't find it. So, you know, she only saw the post one time, and when asking people later on, you know, if they saw that, they responded that they weren't aware of any Facebook post. So, Miracle, being as determined as she is, convinces me to go find the right church. On our second attempt, we finally made it to the church and saw that the parking lot was full. This church. We were greeted right away by Wayne and Regan Walker. They and everyone else were so incredibly nice to us and were so impressed with the participants enjoying the meal. And all this time we'd been looking for a church to attend, and the Walkers invited us to the church that Sunday. We started attending church, and really, we've never left. We've met so many good people and good and friendly people here that we became members. We also asked to learn more about the Bible, and we're helped out by this by Vernon and Fran Montgomery. After just a few months, Vernon baptized both of us one evening with Fran, Wayne, and Regan as witnesses. We began volunteering on Wednesday evenings at the food pantry and just in time a few times at the clothes closet. Wanted to make sure that was working. I believe both of our hearts were so impressed and touched with the families getting food to eat that led us to helping out almost exclusively with the Brighter Days Food Pantry. And with all that said, I would like to thank everyone who volunteers their time and or money so that we as a church can provide services and works throughout our church family, our community, the great state of Texas, the country, and the world in general. I am so impressed by this today. That's it's crazy, but I'm, you know, the food pantry had its beginnings way back in 2006 with Ezra and Terry Sue Bettis, along with several men, trying to give away food at the park. It was known then as taking Jesus to the streets. And after a few different changes within the ministry, the present Brighter Days Food Pantry was born in 2011 with the partnership with the Central Texas Food Bank. A little bit about the volunteers here. The pantry volunteers start by picking up donations on Saturday morning, and that continues. We do food pickups on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday mornings. These donations are then sorted and stored until food can be distributed on Wednesday nights. The total amount of food donated so far this year was 307,680 pounds. Let me say that again, 307,680 pounds. A little perspective on that, that's equal to 77 average size cars. That's a lot of cars, folks. From 2014 till present day, the pantry has given away more than 1.2 million pounds of food. The total number of families so far this year is 4,551. That equates to over 18,000 individuals that otherwise might not get to eat. It's a wonderful thing to see God working through us as a church to touch those in our community. At the right time, God provided the pantry with a walk-in refrigerator freezer, and each week God is faithful and is filling that refrigerator freezer with the food that we need to serve those 90 to 100 people that come to us weekly. God is full of grace. The PowerPoint that's been playing while I've been up here speaking shows the clients and the volunteers, along with the donors, individuals, and companies like HEB, Walmart, Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, Randall's, and Costco's that donate items to the food pantry. Again, I would like to thank everyone who has donated their time by volunteering, donating items or money that has helped with the operation of the Brighter Days Food Pantry. And I'd like to say volunteers are essential and critical to this work and are always needed, especially on Wednesday evenings. And I'd like to invite you to come meet the clients that are coming to our food pantry and hear from them yourselves what this ministry of the Leander Church of Christ means to them. Also, I would like to challenge everyone, adults and young adults, to come help out before or after class on Wednesday evenings. The gratification of knowing that you have made a difference in positive fellowship in someone's life is beyond compare. It's a shining example of what the Brighter Days food ministry is. And any and all help is appreciated. And if you have any further questions, see Ezra and Terry Sue. They can answer all your questions. That's all I have.
Thank you, Randy. And let's give it to Randy one more time. That's excellent job. And I tell him all the time, I don't think it's a coincidence that your beautiful wife is named Miracle, especially after hearing that story. And one of the things that we've talked about, Randy, just kind of bouncing it off is you know, that Facebook post, that's God speaking, you know. I believe God does work in ways like that to make that happen. Man, what an awesome story. What a great ministry. And I don't know if you heard some of those numbers that I hadn't heard of. I asked Randy earlier, I was like, all right, so you're going to tell me some of the numbers? He said, I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to let you hear them during the lesson. I had to wait too. What did we say? Just this year, 77 cars. Is that right?
Yes.
That's just incredible. To know that we're helping that 18,000 people, close to 4,500 families being served. It's just incredible to think about the seeds that God's planting through this ministry. And can you imagine the lives changed? And every one of those people, here's what they walk away knowing. Without that church, I wouldn't have had this food. I couldn't have eaten. And that's incredible. One of the things about the pantry that I want you to understand is that it's more than just a pantry, okay? It's more than just feeding the physical. It's also giving an opportunity for the spiritual. Because of certain things, we can't, and Terry Sue, we were talking about this earlier, you know, you can't force spirituality down their throats, right? And so especially through the partnership that we have. And so it's not like we can set that up as a table and force them to walk through this table, through the line. But what we can do is set up a table that could be, you know, I mean, you dream it up, but like a spiritual table. Hey, here's an opportunity to say a prayer with someone if you want. And so we can do that. Currently, that's not going on, but that's because there's no one there to work it right now. And that's where you and I can come in. That's where we can make a difference. But you might not have known that need. One of the biggest needs that the pantry has, though, is what they call a cart pusher. Everybody say cart pusher. How many of you ever pushed a cart before? Raise your hands high. High and proud. Look at there. Everybody look around for just a second. So many of you have done this. Now, you may be looking around and going, well, that means that they have plenty and I'm not needed. That's not what I'm saying at all. Thank you for those of you who have volunteered. But a lot of our cart pushers, that's where you can come in and help one evening, but you may not be able to help the next week. A cart pusher, literally, you push a cart, a little buggy, and you walk with the family who's getting their food, and you help them bag it and put it in their groceries and walk around with them, take it out to their car, help them load it in their car. But it's the reason that we do that here is because it gives an opportunity to build relationship, to have face-to-face time on an individual level. See, if you're just serving food and handing over a piece of fruit to everyone that comes through, then you get a little bit of interaction with a lot of people. The beauty of a cart pusher is that you get a whole lot of interaction with a very few group of people, and you build a deeper relationship with them. First time you go, you may not even, some of you are going, well, I'm not good at speaking to people and I don't know what I would say. That's okay. Not even, if you're just a presence and you come in and you've been 3 or 4 times in a row and you've helped the same person 2 or 3 times, now all of a sudden they may instigate the conversation. Hey, you helped me last time. And all of a sudden a relationship will naturally begin to form because you chose to help serve in this way. And so there's many things that you can do. There's always help. And one of the great things about Terry Sue and those at the pantry is they're great at helping you find your place. And so even if you're like, I don't know what I want to do, and just come on down, and I promise you, there's a place for you somewhere. Thank you for those of you who have volunteered. If it's been something that you've done in the past but haven't been lately, our encouragement today is that you'll be motivated to say, you know what, it's time for me to get back involved in this. I want to talk for you just a little bit about service. I told you that there's two things this morning that we're hoping to do. Number one, I hope that you've been educated a little bit more about our pantry, and that you know maybe something that you didn't know about it. But the second thing is I want to help increase your motivation to serve. And when I say serve, I'm not simply talking about the pantry. I'm talking about service as spoken of in Scripture. Service is a great thing, it's a beautiful thing, and it's something that is very important. And by the way, it's something we're commanded to do in Scripture. It's a command from God to serve one another. And so let's talk just a little bit about service. Look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. Are you there yet? Serve one another in love. Serve one another how? Yeah, so there's a key there. And that's a key that I want to hit on first before we talk about service in general. I want to tell you what I'm not asking you to do this morning. I'm not asking you to serve out of obligation. Okay? Because that's not what we're commanded to do. We're not commanded to serve simply because it's a command. We're commanded to serve how? In love. There's the key. In love. That's why we serve. Because you look at the lives change. Because when you see Randy in Miracle and you see him standing up here giving his story, you see that God, through his love, through what's going on in this church, reached that family and they've given their lives to the Lord through studying with Vernon and Fran and were baptized and now are so heavily involved that he's willing to stand up here and do something that he doesn't really enjoy because he loves you and because he loves the Lord. That's why we serve. That's why we serve. Not out of obligation. I'm going to tell you something a little embarrassing. Is that okay? You ready for that? Don't laugh too much. It's really not that funny. It's just kind of a very interesting thing. There was, in Louisiana, they had a tornado that came through. And I don't remember, Avery, was it a F2 tornado? Isn't that what it was? I think it was a F2 tornado that came through. It did a lot of damage. Found out later that it came through one of the neighborhoods of one of my youth kids. And he was standing on his back porch, and he said, we were watching, his dad was with him, said, let's go out and look at it. And his mom was like, are you kidding me? Anyway, that was a whole other story. But they're standing on the back porch watching this tornado go right through, almost through towards their backyard. I mean, it was really close, they said. And the little youth kid was saying, yeah, we watched, and trees were being launched into the air. And so it was a powerful storm that came through. There was a lot of damage that had happened. And so Avery and I are driving one day, and I don't remember what we were doing or what was going on, but we just decided, let's go look and see if we can see some of the damage. You know, I don't know if you've ever done that before. If you like see a disaster or something like that, or hear something, you just want to drive down and see what's going on. And so we're in the car, and we're like hunting. Where did this tornado come through? We didn't know at the time. I hadn't heard that youth kid story. We didn't know if there was a lot of damage. We just knew the tornado came through somewhere in this area. So we're driving around, and we're looking, and we're about to give up because we haven't seen anything. And we're like, okay, I guess, you know, must not have been. And all of a sudden, when we turn the corner, and there's flashing lights all down the road, and cars were pulled over to the side of the road, and there was wires down in the road, and tree, and you walked into it looked like a war zone. I mean, it was trees everywhere, lines down everywhere, and we were going, oh my goodness, and we're just driving through kind of looking, but I mean, we could only go so far because there was a power line down, and so I'm getting ready to turn around, and we were just, you know, like blown away by this, and all of a sudden, we see this woman come running up the hill, because there was a little hill that you couldn't see past, and she kind of hops over the little tree area that, you know, there was a tree down in the road. She kind of hops over the branches, comes running up, and we're like, huh, that's interesting. I wonder if everything's okay. And so I kind of sit there for just a second before we turn around and leave, making sure that she didn't need my help or something was wrong. And all of a sudden, Avery says, is that Aaron Rodgers? And I said, it is. It was one of our members from the church. And she just is running. We're like, oh. And so I get out and I go, Aaron? And she says, oh, good, you're here to help. And I said, yeah. I know it's terrible, isn't it? I say, yeah. And I looked at Avery and I was like, yeah, that's what we're here for, right? And she's like, mm-hmm. And she says, good, here, come carry this. Did you bring anything? No, we didn't bring anything. We just jumped in and came on out. I know, it's terrible. And so I'm carrying a bunch of waters, and she's got a bunch of sandwiches. She's bringing food to feed all the people who are there to help clean up the stuff. And so we walk out, and Avery and I were just kind of like looking at each other the whole time, like, what do we do? This is crazy, you know? And we're not dressed for this at all. We weren't ready for this, had no idea, you know? We were just taking a car ride, and all of a sudden, we're carrying these waters down, and we turn back into this little driveway, and there's camera crews out there. There's all sorts of people from the community that are helping, and some more of our members out there, and they're going, oh, good, you came. We're here. Just doing our service, you know, and so we stay and we help clean up, you know, and we avoided getting on TV, but you know, we helped, and of course later we did share this story, and we were like, we really were just driving through. So I did come back later. Okay, I don't know if that makes it any better. Now I'm just trying to cover my tracks, but that was service, and Avery and I, we did a lot of work out there that day. But you know what? That was service out of obligation, not out of heart. And that wasn't because I was searching for someone to serve. It's because we just happened in on that moment. And as funny as that is, sometimes I think that's kind of how we serve today, isn't it? If we're not careful. Is you do what I did that day. So I'm speaking to myself. It's maybe sometimes we stumble into service, but we don't ever intentionally go out and seek service. This says to serve one another how? In love, not accident. Now, did I do something wrong? Well, you know, I should have told the truth right at the beginning. But I served and I helped, and that's always great. It's never wrong to serve. But your service can be meaningless to you and to our Lord if it's just done out of obligation. Did you hear what I said? Meaningless service is a potential because it's done out of obligation. Listen, I don't want you to leave today going and ready to serve to satisfy some kind of guilt that's in you that says, you know what, I really haven't done anything to help in a long time. If that's why you're going to leave this auditorium to go serve, then that's not the kind of help that we're looking for. And it's, please don't serve if that's the case. Right? We're not here to try to guilt you into it. And, oh, how many of you have worked? Oh, so you haven't worked? Well, then you need to do something. That's not what we're doing. We don't want you to serve if that's the case. We want you to do it as God commands, to serve one another in love. In love. Don't give in the collection plate as it comes around because the person next to you gave. That's meaningless. Give because you love the Lord and He gave so much to you. The woman who gave the mites, who gave the two pennies, who didn't have anything, and yet she put those two pennies into the collection, into the giving for the Lord. God looks at her and says, she gave so much more than all the others who are giving these bags of gold. Why? Because she had the right heart that made her giving, her service meaningful. We serve in love, not obligation. Don't give because others do. Give because you love the Lord. Don't work in the nursery to satisfy your guilt and say, well, you know, I just, so-and-so, sister so-and-so has been on the schedule, you know, 6 or 7 times and I haven't even done it once. It's time for me to do something. I guess I better go in there and help. Serve in the nursery because you realize that you're giving someone an opportunity to worship the Lord and to grow in their relationship with Him. Don't lead a connect group because somebody has come up to you or I've come up to you or Howard comes up to you and says, hey, we really need someone to lead. Will you please just lead? Okay. Don't say no. Say no. But if you do want to lead, lead because you believe in the power of community. Because you believe that those connect groups can build relationships that will grow people closer together with their church family and grow them in their relationship with the Lord, and you want to be a part of that. See, we don't want obligation. We want hearts that say, this is what I want. And certainly today on Pack the Pulpit, as we're thinking about our pantry, please don't go and push a cart and go hand out food and do that because of this sermon. It's not why I want you to do it. Go down there because you believe in the power of changed lives, because you hear Randy and Miracle's story and you say, I want to be a part of something like that. Because you can go down there and when you see the faces of those people who you help serve, and then you come back and you come back and you come back, and 2 months later somebody comes up to you and says, you know what, you helped me that night. And you were the one who said that thing that I really needed, or you were the one who pushed my cart a year ago. And I just wanted you to know that now I've made this change in my life because of you. That's why you serve. That's why we give. Don't fall into entitlement mentality. I'm going to say this one more. I'm going to step a little bit more on all of our toes just for a second. Don't fall into entitlement mentality. Everyone say entitlement. And look to your neighbor and say, it's not about you. And don't finish that by saying it's all about me. Everybody say it's not about me. It's not. It's not. It's all about the Lord. It's all about God. It's all about what He's done for us. Listen, sometimes we get into this, and I'm going to step on toes real fast. I'm going to say this because this is one of my pet peeves. It drives me insane. What I cannot stand when I'll use this friendly language. I can't stand it when I leave a service and I start saying stuff like, why did they sing that song? Why did they do that? Oh, it would have been so much better if only they would have done this. Or I wish so-and-so was leading, or if he just would preach shorter instead of longer. Or if they would have come up and said that, or it was really awkward when they... And we start this whole thing as if church is somehow about us. And it's not. It's all about the Lord. And what if every member in here came to church and said, what can I give to God today? Would we not see a difference? Not just in this church, but in our community and in the people that we can reach. If we came not with entitlement mentality, but with a servant mentality that said, wow, I get to be an elder today. Who can I bless? I get to be a member at Leander. Who can I bless? I get to stand and be the preacher today. What can I give to God through my service? That's the kind of service we want. Not obligation, not entitlement mentality. And if that's what you're doing, please, please, please do us all a favor. Don't serve, because that kind of service is meaningless. And service is too important to be treated like that. Okay, everybody take a breath. I love you. And if I didn't, I wouldn't say those things like that. And by the way, I'm preaching to myself, because there's been times where I've driven home and said those exact statements. And it's not been too long ago that I've said things like that. And so I know it's something we can fall into, but God wants more for us. And so let me tell you three things about my service this morning. Okay, making it very personal. It's not about you this morning, it's about me. And I hope every one of us can have that attitude today. Let me tell you three things about my service. Number one, I'm called to serve. Say that. I'm called to serve. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1 both speak to our calling and how we've been called by God. And a part of our calling is into service. God has called you into service. Listen, we've got three full-time staff and one part-time staff here at Leander. But we've got about 300 ministers. You with me? You see, because ministry is not a job description. That's why, I'm thankful that, you know, sure, we have to call them something. So preacher, minister, sure. But I don't want to create this idea that church is all on one man, because if it is, then it's on the man Jesus, and it's not on some one minister. Ministry is all of ministry. The phrase minister is about serving someone else, ministering to someone else, giving of yourself to someone else to help them in their relationship with Christ, to help lead them somewhere. It's about serving. That's what ministry means. Getting outside of yourself and blessing someone else's life that's going to help them, lead them closer to God. That's what ministry means. So the goal is for all of us to be a minister. You've been called to serve. I've been called to serve. And it's not just for those who are on staff to do this thing. And so, number one, we've been called to serve. Number two, service makes my life meaningful. Say that. Service makes my life meaningful. Mark chapter 8 and verse 35, it's that Jesus is saying, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel will find it. And so you're looking for purpose in your life? Then start to serve other people. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, it says, always give yourselves to the Lord's work, and then you will know that your labor will not be in vain. Service makes my life meaningful. It gives me purpose. Have you ever gotten into a funk before? I call it a funk. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm funky. Yeah. And sometimes we all get a little funky, right? And I'm not talking about groovy. I'm talking about funky, like we get into this just almost a depressive state, right? And man, just life gets miserable. And maybe it's because there's something really big going on in our life that makes me funky. But maybe it's a bunch of little things that compile. But whatever it is, there's times in our life where we just are down. We're depressed. We can't find purpose. And you ever felt like you just don't have a purpose? I can't do that. I think that's why I chose ministry. If I'm doing a job and I can't say I know how this is blessing someone's life, for me, that's a big deal. I need to know why I'm doing it. If you want to start a new program at church and you're trying to sell me on it, then you've got to do just that. You've got to sell me on the why. And I'll back you 100%, but I need to know why we're doing it first. I don't want to just do things to do things because somebody else is doing it. I want to do it because it makes a difference in somebody's life. And so when you start to present, man, this is going to bless other people, man, oh, I'm in. I'm in. This is going to make a difference in someone else's life. I'm in, because my service makes my life meaningful. It gives me purpose. Next time you're down, next time you're in your funky mood, when's the last time you tried to serve somebody? Find someone to bless. Find someone to love. Sometimes the best cure for our own issues in our life and our own brokenness is to help someone else in their brokenness and to give of ourselves, because service makes my life meaningful. Finally, last one. My church needs my service. Say that. My church needs my service. Do you believe that? Because sometimes I think that we can look around and we can go, oh, they've got plenty of people. They don't need me. And that's not what my Bible tells me. My Bible tells me that my church needs my service. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27 says that you are the body of Christ. And it's talking about the church as a whole. And then he looks to the rest of the church. He breaks it down even farther and says, each one of you are a part of that body. And then he starts talking about the spiritual giftedness. You know, and he gets into the whole, you know, if some of you are NRV, okay, Nathan Revised Version. Some of you are a nose, and some of you are ears, and some of you are toes, and some of you, and you have all these different functions, but you all work together to complete the whole. Do you know that there's a star football player in a couple of decades ago who was supposed to be great, supposed to do wonderful stuff. He came out of college, he was really hyped up, but then he hurt his pinky toe. And they ended up having to operate on it, and he lost it, and he never came back to who he fully was, and his career was ended because of a toe. Tell me the toe's not important. Every place, every member, every person, your service matters. My service matters. My church needs my service. Listen, it's like going to H-E-B. How many of you love going to H-E-B? Now, I really do. I do love going to H-E-B because it's a wonderful store, but how many of you love going to H-E-B when it's crowded and there's people everywhere and then you spend hours in the store? I see some laughter going on as you're looking at each other because you know that one or the other of you is like, I hate it every time. I don't want to go to the store. I don't want to step foot in. We can get out of here. I'm miserable. And how many of you get to like a really crowded place, like a concert or a store like that, and every now and then you're just like, I just got to go stand outside. I got to get away from these people for just a minute, you know. And so here's what we do, you and I. We go to the store and we're getting all of our groceries and we're putting them all in our cart. And we spent an hour in there dodging people, avoiding people. But it's kind of later in the evening. And so it's not as crowded as usual, but it's still pretty busy. And we spent all this time building up this big grocery bill. Okay, my wife's going to be so happy when I get home because I got her the Cheez-Its and the Goldfish, you know. And so here we go and pushing the buggy and you get to the front. And man, HEB's facility, by the way, can I brag on our HEB for a minute? The HEB Plus down here, holy cow. I come from a place that had a Walmart Supercenter that closed at 10, all right? And so this is a little taste of heaven for me as I walk into HEB. Get me on that trail mix aisle, and oh man, I love some of that. Chocolate covered almonds, anyway, not the point. The point is you finally get to the aisle, and one lane's open, and the line's all backed up, and there's one person open, and all the other lanes are closed. And they have these self-checkout things, and they're all shut down, and they have all these lanes, and they're all shut down, and the facility's great. The parking lot's wonderful. The trail mix, they got it down. But then you get to the front, and the whole experience can be ruined because there wasn't enough workers to take care of your situation. You see what I'm saying? What makes HEB what it is when all those workers are together and all those lanes are open and there's so much option of where you can go. And man, it really helps. And then you get up there and a lot of times they're really friendly and really nice. And it just makes the experience great. Not because of the facility, but because of the people. God's blessed us here at Leander. God's blessed us with a great church family. People who work and people who serve. But you know what? We've got to do it even more because just one Sunday of a mom walking into that nursery back there and there's 10 kids on the floor and there's one nursery worker in there and she's juggling all these other kids. That mom who's carrying her two babies and she peeks her head in there and she sees that chaos, what's she going to say? She's going to say, no, I can't, not dropping my kids off in that. And so she turns and she comes back in here with her kids, and it's been her first time to attend, and now all of a sudden she's trying to juggle all these kiddos during the whole service, and they're acting up, and then she's got to walk out and take them, and finally she just says, I can't do this. And her whole experience, it may have been the best service that you've ever experienced, but little did you know that that person is never coming back because that was the most miserable service because, yeah, the facility could be pretty, the service could be great, the preacher could have preached a great sermon, the song service could have been wonderful, and yet the nursery experience ruined it all for that person. My church needs my service. It matters, doesn't it? It makes a difference. Someone comes down to the pantry and begins to serve, and their whole, nobody could have talked to them, nobody could have smiled at them. And if only someone was there to push their cart for them and have that interaction with them, their experience would be so much better and so much different. And so that's the goal, is that we all choose to serve in some way, to lead a connect group, to serve in the pantry, to push a cart, to help when moments of ministry arise, to work in the nursery, to serve on the table, to say a prayer. I mean, there's so much that we can do together. Find your place to serve, because, say it with me, my church needs my service. Say it one more time. My church
needs my service.
Yeah. I want to leave you with this. Look at Philippians chapter 2. I am going to let you get to this text. I know I've been quoting a lot this morning. Look at Philippians chapter 2. I don't think there's any better way to close than just letting this scripture say it all. We're going to start in verse 1. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship with the Spirit, and any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete, being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but to the interests of who? Others, right? And then listen to this. If this doesn't blow your mind about service, I don't know what will. Your attitude should be the same of that as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, don't gloss over that. He's in the nature of God. And he didn't consider that equality with God something to be grasped. But he made himself nothing. I like the version that says he emptied himself. Taking the very nature of a what? Our God became a servant to his creation. Being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You know, one of the things that's most confusing for me is the truth that God loves me. I know it's true, but I don't understand why sometimes. It's hard to grasp. But then this truth takes it to a whole nother level, because he loved us not just some, but enough to serve us. He became a servant, and then he humbled himself to die on a cross for us, in full of grace. Grace is unmerited favor. That's what it means. Unmerited favor. I haven't done anything to earn it. I didn't deserve it. I came to the pantry and I just signed up, and people just gave me food. Because why? Because we love people. That's why we do what we do. And Jesus, when we were least deserving, when we least earned, he gave us grace and became our servant to the point of death on a cross. That's how much he loved us. The least that we can do to give back is to love our Lord, not out of obligation, and to serve others, not out of obligation, but because we love him. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten Son. You've heard me say it before. Loving and giving go hand in hand. That's why we want you to serve today. I hope it's been an encouragement to you. Randy, thank you again for your heart and sharing with us this morning. What a great job. What a beautiful family. What an awesome story. And I just pray that today has motivated you, number one, to you've learned more about the pantry, but number two, that you're ready to serve in some way, knowing that God gave everything he had for you. If there's anything we can do, won't you come while together we stand and sing.